just something I want to share before I get started. When Gene was just sort of speaking a little bit during a song tonight, he spoke about, you know, you're with me in the fire and you're with me every time and whatever I'm doing. And then Pastor Alan got up and sort of said a little bit about knowing God's with you and not fearing. And I really just sense, and I'll go out on the limb a little bit. I've always sort of envied people when they share testimony and they go through life, and at a certain point they have this incredible God encounter, and it's almost like a light in the room or an audible voice, or they just stop by something and it's just monumental and it changes their lives. And if I'm honest, I got saved in 1978, and I've always been a little bit envious of those people, because if I'm just honest with you, I've never had one of those incredible encounters. I've never seen a donkey speaking to me or a light, or I haven't had one of those encounters. Now, I can tell you that in my heart, I know I have encountered the presence of God. And I know there are probably, on one hand, I can count a few times where I've just known, man, God is so real. But I've always still envied those people, and I've wrestled with this. But I want to just tell you tonight, you know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he said, you know, you guys are blessed because you see. But there are those coming who will be blessed because they believe and they've never seen. You see, I don't believe that one encounter is what has sustained that person's walk with God. It's impossible. Because, you know, you can meet, I don't know who's famous, you can meet Richie McCaw and even have dinner with him and spend a while, and you'll go, wow, you'll be buzzing for a week, but it's going to fade eventually. There needs to be something else that's sustaining you. And I really believe it is the faith inside of you, and it comes, the Holy Spirit reveals God to you. You cannot, without the Holy Spirit drawing you, you can't even realize who God is, or you won't know who He is. So I believe without a doubt it's a supernatural encounter, if you'd like. But I believe that your whole life has to be a journey of faith, one step at a time, and one step at a time. You know, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Word of God is real. Have I got to that? One step at a time. I've just, over the years, and I've seen things happen. I've seen testimonies in people around me, and it's been amazing. And, you know, when Gene was saying, you know, you're with me through the fire, I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they said, we will serve God, we will not bow to you, whether God rescues us or not. Because sometimes we can be very good to be the kind of Christians who will serve God when He's rescuing us. But what about when He's not? And what about the centurion who said to the disciples, don't even bother the master to come. Let him just speak the word. Well, that's the kind of faith I want in my life. And so I want to encourage you tonight as I share the word, and just something that I believe God has put on my heart, and it's sort of been something that I've been thinking about for a while and just fitted so good with the theme, and I know that it's of God. But I want to encourage you tonight that can just take you one step in your journey of faith. That when you leave tonight or this week, you'll go, man, I'm one step closer in my faith walk with God. Because, you know, the Bible says we are saved by faith. We need to now live by faith. We can't wait for feelings and things to see. You need to live by faith. And that's what we want to do. Amen? Amen. I've always said the hardest thing about preaching is coming up with something to preach. And so give me a topic or a title. Well, I don't know if that's so good anymore, because it's really hard when you're confined to just speak with something. Then you go, man, let's go. I can't do that. I've got to come back here. And it's a bit of a struggle. But I'm going to give it a go anyway. And we're going to speak on friends tonight. I want to say something quickly, though. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Anyone? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Who says the egg? Come. Who says the chicken? Okay, we sort of got a few mixed. I think a few people were just humoring me and put up their hand just to be nice. I want to read a scripture to you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Genesis 1, verse 24, and I think it'll be up there. It said, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, I believe the word of God literally. And it doesn't say that He made no eggs. So we're going to go with the chicken. Amen? So I believe the word of God literally. And I think, you know, I've heard guys talk about all sorts of stuff. And, well, that's what the word of God says. That settles it for me. And I'm like adding a lot of things when it comes to people say, oh, you're just a bit black and white. Well, if the Bible says it, that's it. Now, there's another verse, and I'm going to put this verse up quickly. Mark chapter 12. There's another verse that we sort of take literal sometimes, but not always. So Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. And I think we've got it there. It might come up, I'm not sure. Maybe it's not there. I'll read it to you. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the scribes, so let me just quickly tell you, Jesus has been telling incredible stories and he's been sharing in the synagogue, and it says in verse 28, now one of the scribes had come up to him and he heard their debate, and noticing how well Jesus answered them, he asked them, which commandment is the most important of all? Now I reckon if I was around Jesus, I would probably have said something like that too. What is the most important? I want to know. And then it goes on and he says the rest of the verse, and we'll see how quick it is. If it's not quick, I'll have to read it off here. We'll just go off here. Jesus replied in verse 29, this is the most important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Verse 31, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. No other command is greater than these. Now, I mean, we've heard that scripture preached many, many times, and I've heard a lot of people talking about that and even say you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And what I want to speak to tonight, and I have to give credit to where credit is due, and I was sort of thinking about what am I going to speak about in this title, and we mentioned it in a meeting, and the Honorable Gene came up with the title, and I think it's a really good title. And I want to speak tonight about friends with myself. Yeah. Friends with myself. And you go, well, where does that come from? Well, I tell you now, the Bible there says that you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I've heard a lot of people speaking about the love your neighbor part, but very few about the love yourself. You see, when you can't love yourself, you're never going to be able to love anyone else. You're going to be falling short all the time. You know, I think besides Jesus and our relationship with Jesus, the most important friendship you and I will ever have is with ourselves. Now, if you just think about it, you probably talk to yourself more than you do to anyone else. You probably criticize yourself more than anyone else. You spend more time with yourself than anyone else, I hope. I've been friends with myself since 1968. Never, ever had a fallout. Never parted company. And I think there's a couple of you who have been longer than me, not many. But, you know, you are friends with yourself before you're friends with anyone else. And often we go through life and we just ignore this relationship that we have towards ourselves. And I don't want to be real deep and think sort of all inside myself. But, you know, I'm the only one who really knows what I'm thinking. I'm the only one who really knows what my motives are. You know, you can judge whether they're pure or how they look, but ultimately, I'm the only one who knows. Friends with myself. You know, I believe that when you do not love yourself, you're lowering the standard that God has set for you. God says you love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you drop your standard of loving yourself, just how little are you going to love your neighbor? You know, and if you ever wondered, you look around in the world and you wonder why there's just such an incredible lack of love almost. You hear people murdering and all sorts of stuff just going on. And they can't love their neighbor because they just don't love themselves. The figures of self-harm, at the moment a big topic in New Zealand is youth suicide and teen suicide. Those figures are astronomical. And you just got to wonder, how much are we friends with ourselves? Interesting thing I heard last night, not really got anything to do with the topic, but the age group that watches the most YouTube is 8 years old till 12 years old. That's the most viewers of YouTube. Isn't that amazing? What are your kids watching? What are they looking at? Where are they getting their identity? How are they forming their relationship with themselves when they're watching all these other people do whatever crazy stuff they do? A couple of verses, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 8. It says, to acquire wisdom is to love oneself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. It says, to acquire wisdom is to love oneself. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 says, for no one has ever hated his own body, but he nourishes it and he tenderly cares for it as the Messiah does the church. And that's talking about Jesus and our relationship to us. But no one ever hates his own body or will harm himself on purpose. And I'm not going to go into all of the reasons why that happens, but when you are friends with yourself and you love yourself, you have something to give. Hurting people hurt other people. When you're whole, you can bring wholeness to other people. Friends with yourself. So I want to read, you know, if we're talking about friendship and we're talking about love, there's one chapter that always comes to mind. Anyone have a guess? 1 Corinthians 13. So turn with me in your Bibles if you want to. 1 Corinthians 13. It is good when your senior pastor answers first. That is good. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, anyone wouldn't mind that? And have all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And then verse 4 says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You've all heard that before. I'm sure some of us have heard it over and over and over. My question tonight, when we're talking about being friends with yourself, is have you ever applied that chapter, that part to yourself? Have you ever read that thinking, well, what about me? Because the Bible says you need to love others as you love yourself. So when you look there, love is patient. Are you patient with yourself? Am I patient with myself? Or do I just berate myself when I can't do something and can't get it right? Am I kind to myself? I mean, this is scriptural, amen? Yeah. Some of you are a little bit quiet. Yeah. Bible says you need to love others as you love yourself, so we can apply this to ourselves. Love does not boast, though. And it does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. What about this one? It's not easily angered. Don't put your hand up. Do you get angry with yourself? I get pretty annoyed with myself every now and then. Well, love says it is not easily angered. What about this one? Keeps no record of wrongs. I think we're champions of that, of keeping a record of wrongs. You know, while I was thinking about this, I just thought, it'd be really, really good if I sort of had a test that you could do. Who enjoys a little challenge or a test? Yeah, most of us do. And I thought it'd be really good if I could have some kind of test that we could measure how we fit on this scale. And so I'm not going to let you do it now, but go home and get a stopwatch and for a minute, just write down everything good about yourself, okay? And then count it up. Then go for a minute and write down everything bad about yourself. Who do you think is going to have the longer list? We're really good at keeping account of the wrongs in us. And you know what? If you're doing it to yourself, you're doing it to everyone else. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. You see, that comes again down to yourself. You know, if you delight in the truth inside of you, when you love yourself, you will do that. But when you don't, you'll be prepared to accept second best, which is a lie or a substandard something or another. You've heard this before many times. We write our victories in the sand on the beach, but on the concrete, on the pavement up on the top is where we etch our failures. Many people can tell you a heap of things they've done wrong, but when you say, well, tell me something good about yourself, and they sort of stammer and stutter, and we sometimes sort of say, well, that's humility. I'm humble. I'm not going to, you know. Well, be honest with yourself and go and do that little test. 2 minutes, it's all you need. And then you can, maybe 3 minutes because you've got to count up the answers. But have a look at that. Have you ever applied 1 Corinthians 13 to yourself? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. John 3:16, we all know that verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, and I read that and I thought, how comfortable would we be to say, for God so loved Victor that he gave his only son, that if Victor believed in him, he would not perish, but have eternal life. Are we comfortable saying that? We need to ask ourselves, you know, do we really believe that? A couple of quotes that I sort of found and I thought were really fascinating. One of them, by W.C. Fields, he said, it ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to. It doesn't matter what people call you, it's what you answer to. You know, I think in our lives, we could also say, what do you call yourself? What would you say you are? If you were to give yourself a nickname, or you know, what would you do? It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." I think I was just chatting with my wife on the way tonight about the way that the world lets the social media and stuff around them define their identity and who they are and what they're going to be. We just, you know, oh, I can't wear that. What are they going to say? Or I can't drive that. What are they going to think? Or I can't, you know, what does that matter? No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Maxwell Maltz said, "Low self-esteem is like driving through life the whole way with the handbrake on." And I really believe that. Going through life with low self-esteem is like, you'll get through, but it's like having the handbrake on. You're just never going to get going. Because you never think you're good enough. You don't deserve anything. And it's never going to come your way. Mark Twain said, "A man cannot be comfortable without his own approval. A man or woman cannot be comfortable without their own approval." You see, when someone says to you, "Man, you did a great job," but in your side, your heart, you're saying to yourself, "I did a rubbish job." Who are you going to believe? You're not going to believe that person. You're going to, they're just lying. They're just saying it to be nice. Joel Osteen said, "Don't ever criticize yourself. Don't go around all day long thinking, 'I'm unattractive, I'm slow, I'm not as smart as my brother.'" He says, because God wasn't having a bad day when he made you. God wasn't having a bad day when he made you. If you don't love yourself in the right way, you can't love your neighbor. You can't be as good as you're supposed to be when you don't love yourself. God didn't have a bad day. God makes no mistakes. And I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. Everyone else looks like they're better off and they're doing better and they're going further. Well, hang on, God doesn't make mistakes. And if you may be at a place where you think it's not going good, let me tell you tonight, your day will come. If you think, "Man, look what they got, look what they're doing, and they're just flying," your day will come. Otherwise, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you can just say, "Whether it comes or not, I will serve God because I know what's inside of me." God doesn't make mistakes. Now, you know, I'm sure you all do this, maybe you don't, but I've sort of got a favorite word at the moment. And I sort of try and use it a lot of times when I'm talking, and I catch myself using it when I shouldn't. But the word is probably the word tension. Now, normally in a sort of friendship way, if you say the word tension, what do you think? You think negative. Ooh, am I going to raise this issue or whatever? But let me tell you, there's a lot of good things about tension. If you're a tightrope walker, you'd like a bit of tension. I love squash, and there's nothing worse than when a string breaks and you've got no more tension. Okay, you just can't hit the ball properly. If you're a sailor, you like a bit of tension in the sail because you know that here comes the wind. And so tension can be a good thing. And I really believe on the subject that I'm speaking about tonight, friends with myself, there comes a certain tension. And what I mean by that is you can love yourself far too much and you'll do yourself as much harm. You see, the devil cannot create anything. We read a scripture in Genesis where God made every living creature in their kind. The devil cannot create anything. What the devil does is perverts and twists what God has made. And he brings doubt. And so he said to them in the garden, "Did God really say?" And the devil's still doing that today. And so if you come along and you think, "Man, this is the week. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to be onto it. I'm going to be friends with myself." The devil will probably try and push you too far. And you're going to end up thinking, "Man, I'm the bee's knees." Or the other way is even worse. You see, I think we live in a bit of a pendulum society. We struggle to just be at the bottom. We want to be up here or we want to be over there. So then we'll be thinking, "Oh, I'm just a worm. Nothing good comes to me. I don't deserve this. Look at what I look like. I don't look as smart as him. Or I don't have as good dress sense as that one. Or I don't have the car that one has or the job." And so we've gone that way. And then we come to church and we get filled up with faith and the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and we sort of come down, but we just keep going back to the other side. And then we feel too good about ourselves. "And oh, I'm too good to do that. No, I won't be able to serve in that department. Move chairs, you're joking. I should be speaking." And you know what I'm saying? And so we need a bit of tension where we can live in the middle and think of yourselves in a sober way. Psalm 17 verse 8. And I believe this is some of the things that the devil tries to do with our lives when we see what God says. Psalm 17 verse 8, God says, well, the Bible says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." You see, I really believe that we are the apple of God's eye. We, you know, I know God doesn't have favorites, but I don't believe that's true. I think we're all God's favorite. You see, we're the apple of God's eye. And in Zechariah 2 verse 8, it also talks about us being the apple of God's eye. Now, the apple of your eye is the part that you protect the most. Have you ever, you know, even if you've got a good friend, just let them try and touch your eye. I mean, you relax, let your guard down, so just touch. There's no ways they're going to get to put their finger on the apple of your eye. And that's how God is with us. No one can touch you without God knowing, without God protecting and moving. Amen? So we're the apple of God's eye. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away. Everything has become new. That's who we are. That's who God has made us. We should feel, man, this is pretty good. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, it says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I will give you today, and you carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and you'll never be at the bottom. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, for you formed my innermost parts, God. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. You know, how many times do you look at your reflection in the window or yourself in the mirror and go, man, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? Anyone? Don't dob in anyone who does. It won't be good. But let me tell you now, we the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made in the image of God. There can't be anything better. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. But along comes it with it, this tension. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, says, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more of yourselves or more highly of yourselves than you ought. And this is the tension that we have to live in. That God, am I thinking the way you want me to, or am I just dropping way below that? I don't believe you can even be a friend with anyone else unless you're a good friend with yourself. You'll be doubting yourself and second-guessing yourself, and everything they do will be seen as an attack on you, or they're trying to show you up because you're putting yourself down all the time. No one wants to be around someone who's continually groveling and thinking they're worse and in the gutter. Another test, I think, when I was thinking about this, was are you filled with gratitude? Or are you just full of complaints and negativity and how bad everything is? You see, when you feel good about yourself and you have a good relationship with yourself and you love yourself so that you can love others, you're going to be full with gratitude. Man, God, look what you've done. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Look how you've made me. Look where you've placed me. Look how blessed I am. But when you're not and you're struggling and you've let the pendulum go way out of kilt because the devil has lied to you and you believe that, that's when you start thinking, well, maybe I should just end it. Or what do I have to offer? I'm not even going to go there because I've got nothing to give them. And surely God can't use me. Why would a miracle come my way? And we start thinking like that. We've moved the wrong way. So check in your own life. Are you filled with gratitude? Or are you continually grizzling about what happens? You know, it's amazing. When you hear someone say, well, so-and-so just got blessed with an incredible job. And you watch the people around them, there's always two kind of reactions. There's those who hit him on the back and say, whoa, I'm so excited for you, this is incredible. And there's others going, oh, when's my turn coming? When am I going to get it? Well, that's just an indication of how you feel about yourself. You see, it's very difficult to be content. The Bible says you need to be content where you are. It's very difficult to be content when you don't like yourself and you don't like what's happening in your life. You'll always struggle and fall short. And I'm going to finish with a couple of scriptures and the band can come up. Philippians 1 verse 6. It says, I am certain of this, that God who began a good work in you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day Christ returns. Can I just tell you, I mean, that's an amazing scripture, but you know what it says? Until the day Christ returns. So let me tell you two things. Number one, God is going to finish something in you that he has started. Number two, you haven't arrived yet. God ain't finished. So just relax. If you think he is, he's got a bit more to do. So keep that intention. But get excited. God is not finished. He'll finish the work that he has started in you. Amen? Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, if you're groveling and thinking, oh, I can't do anything, I'm going to get nowhere, you'll never be able to let that scripture be a reality in your life. You need God to reveal himself to you, that you're actually important and you matter. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Isaiah 41 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you." You know, Pastor Alan said it tonight. God is with you. We need to believe that. If you went somewhere and you had someone with you that was just way bigger and way stronger, you'd be pretty, you know. I've seen it before with dogs. Little yap-yap dogs. They got their owner with them. And along comes a dog that's 5 times his size, and he gets all aggressive. I'm like, what are you thinking? But it's because he knows, well, I'm okay, man. I got backup. If we live through life knowing that God is with us, the God who raised the dead, the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. If we start living like that, we will be able to live a very different life, and we'll be able to love others because we actually love ourselves. And we think, man, I carry the presence of God with me. Don't mess with me. Yeah? As we consider this tonight, I really think the two greatest dangers are thinking too much about yourself, that you're stealing some of the glory that's meant to go towards God, and you're taking that for yourself. But I still think the greatest of the two evils is thinking less of yourself than what God has made you. The Bible says God resists the proud. And I understand that. But I really believe that when you have a self-image and self-worth that is so low, you'll never be able to take God at his word that he has spoken over your life. Can I challenge you this week to just say, God, will you speak into my life about how I feel about myself? I nearly said, if it's a lady, when you walk past the mirror, what do you think? But I know some guys do the same. But just, what do you think? Are you speaking the same words that God would speak over you? Or are you speaking the lies that the devil will speak over you? I believe that we can be friends with ourselves. And by doing that, we can love the world because we love ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about a vanity tonight. I'm talking about something that's powered from God, because God has enabled us and God has put inside of us that very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And so as we just finish and I'm going to play a song of worship, I just want you to contemplate for yourself and be honest with yourself. Because you can fool me, you can fool the person next to you. But how do you feel about yourself tonight? Is there stuff that you just wish you could change? Or you're going to go, God, I believe you made no mistakes. And I was made in the image of God. And God's image is beautiful. It's incredible. It's majestic. It's greater than you can ever imagine. And that is how God has made you.